Good evening. It is good to see all of you. Before we begin, there are a couple of announcements. The first is that there is a need for financial support. This particular month is one of the 2 months out of the year that the foundation has to pay property taxes, which amount to $2,500. And at the present moment, those funds are not present, and they're due on the last day of the month. Also, generally speaking, over the last 3 or 4 months, there has been a very noticeable increase in the amount of support that has been coming in. And it is allowing, how shall I say it? It is allowing the foundation to pay its bills within the month that the bills arrive, and it is allowing the foundation to pay Chris for the tremendous work he is doing to maintain the website and master the audio tapes and everything he does, but it is not sufficient to free him from having to find other employment, and so we continue to be faced with the loss of his help at any moment when he finds work. And I encourage everyone who finds the work that all of us are doing valuable and who wish to see it shared to help financially. For those of you who are new here and may not be aware of it, we do have a contribution bowl over on the table at the top of the stairs. And the last announcement is that next Thursday there will be no gathering, and we will resume the following Thursday. Okay. What a week. Regardless of what any of you may think about the way everything has happened, you cannot escape being aware of joy, being experienced and expressed by many, I will say, of the Iraqi people. Don't overlook that or minimize it because of what I will call your practice of faithlessness. Something more significant than just overthrowing Saddam Hussein's regime is happening. Now, before we begin, I just want to have everyone look at the dynamics. The coalition forces have moved into Iraq in the south and moved north. The end result so far has been the liberation of the Iraqi people from a harsh, hateful dictatorship. Because of the instant availability of information through the media and the availability of information from other than your usual sources, I mean by that the Al Jazeera network, other countries' documentation of the happening, you know that whatever it is that's happening is being seen in many different ways. Correct? Obviously, through different lenses, and the different lenses are what they are because of the mutually agreed upon definitions employed by those areas that are using those lenses and for the purposes of those in those areas. And the purposes in those areas are, as it is with everyone, everywhere, and every country, the maintenance of the status quo, self-protection, in other words, and the preservation of even financial security. Now, even among the Iraqi people, they are seeing this through different lenses. And it's in this respect that I want you to notice that you can find yourselves in exactly the same position. Liberation is occurring. The end of oppression, or shall I say the current regime of oppression, the ending of it is occurring. In other words, the good of the Iraqi people is in their face. Like I've said to all of you, at every single moment, the only thing confronting you is the kingdom of heaven. No matter how you are choosing to define it and therefore see it. There are others who are seeing their good as beneficial, but perhaps ultimately threatening. Is it colonialism that is occurring? Or is it really liberation? Can we trust our good? You see? You all have that problem. I keep saying, turn toward the altar. Go within and ask to be talked to by the Father so that you might experience His perspective. And some of you smile joyfully and say, okay. And others of you say, you know, this sounds really good, but I don't know if I dare to trust it because I'm not sure about the real nature of God. And we've been talking about this just in the last few weeks. The fact that it's easy to perceive God, who is indivisible, as whimsical, sometimes loving, sometimes hateful, sometimes answering your prayers, and sometimes not, without any particularly good reason, but just because. And so there is a lack of trust of your good. Now, it's obvious to most everyone that when a dictatorship ends, when the rule of a dictatorship ends, it becomes utterly obvious that all government is self-government. Ah, and this is what I've been talking about, what all of us have been considering, and that is, oh dear, this is going to bring new responsibility if I am going to choose to listen to God and yield to God. Because why? Because you're going to end up being the salvation of the world. Oh my God, such responsibility I will have. I will have to be conscientious and unswerving in my allegiance to protecting truth by loving it so completely that I let nothing else enter my mind to distract me from truth and therefore its spontaneous embodiment. You see? There are those in Iraq who are afraid of this. I don't know if we'll be able to do it. I don't know if I want to. I've become comfortable letting someone else take care of that for me. And for all of you, it's something else that takes care of that for you, and it's your ego. You see? And so there's the tendency to be lazy and sloppy and casual about it, about your awakening, because the good that's in front of your face appears to suggest that it's going to be more work for you, things are going to be worse than they were when you were self-satisfied, operating from within the ego's frame of reference. So, all of the dynamics of awakening are illustrated in what's going on in Iraq. The presence of the availability of freedom is being seen through many different lenses. And each one of you have many different lenses. It isn't just that one of you has a different lens from another, depending upon the circumstance. You are agreeable to awakening and listening to the Father, and in another instance you're not. It frightens you. But as with the Iraqi people, it will be worth the effort to take on the task of being self-governed. Because it will mean their ability to be free. To be free to honestly be out from their best use of intelligence, and thus feel their integrity embodied in their land. And this is what all of you are faced with, even though there's no apparent war going on. Now, there's another aspect of this that will be helpful for you. Because if indeed you are the salvation of the world, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, it means that you will be the liberators. And again, regardless of the opinions and biases that you have or that have been supplied to you by the media, the fact is that the liberators here have not been popular. Ooh. Does that mean that if you're going to be the salvation of the world, you might not be popular? Yes, it does. Does it mean that you may have to stand and embody the Father's perspective, the Father's will, in spite of the misinterpretations of it that will occur and which will cause you to be belittled and slandered and disliked and spoken ill of? Yes, it does. It means that you're going to have to be dedicated to truth, whether it is clearly understood for what it is or not. Why? Because you know there's nothing more important than that. You know that there is nothing more important in terms of awakening for yourself and your brothers than for you to honor truth totally from the tips of your toes. And you know what? Doing that isn't going to take courage. But daring to listen to the Father so that you are infilled with that which is to be embodied, as well as the energy to do it, that is where the effort and the work and the conscientiousness is going to have to come into play.
That's embracing our good. And when I heard you say that's us embracing our good.
Indeed. Indeed. Now, mind you, being the salvation of the world is not the goal. It's a side effect. It's secondary to you coming back into your right mind, because you have decided that you no longer want to be tormented and oppressed by the dictatorial regime of ignorance. Do you get that? Then, when you do that and you let the energy in, your faces and your bodies and your movements will be lit up the way the Iraqi people were, who let their joy out. And everyone will be blessed. None of what this book says and none of what we've been talking about means anything unless it brings about an actual change in you that causes you to embody something different from what you have been embodying and confirming and maintaining, because you have you have inappropriately felt vulnerable, and therefore everything you have been doing has been done for self-protection. And that's not a gift. That's something you're taking from everyone else and depleting everyone else. And what they're taking from you. Now, as we continue on week to week, during the week, please remember that it's not about remembering what we've talked about, but it is about daring to begin to practice what we've been talking about by counting it as extremely important for each of you to be connecting with your source. So that you no longer attempt to act independent of it, and thereby continue to confirm your being subject to the totalitarian, cruel results of ignorance. You could say the Course is here at this particular time as a liberator that has come into your experience. Your guides, your brothers who are fully awake, who stand at the ready with you every moment to convey to you the true vision, are your liberators. Liberation is at hand. It has been all along, but it's more obvious. Embodied in your world is more evidence of liberation and your liberators. Now, what aspect of the Iraqi society are you going to fall into relative to your liberators? Are you going to see them for what they are and grab onto them and thank them and let gratitude pour from you and let their presence cause you to dishonor the unjust laws that have bound you because you have committed yourself to mutually agreed upon definitions that don't express the Father's will? Or are you going to weigh in the balances what it's going to cost you, and what's the real motive of these liberators? Is it what they say? I mean, after all, if your guide is saying to you, let me respond to everything. Lean on me and let me respond to everything so that in the absence of your expressing self-will, you might more quickly remember your innate capacity and ability to be the immediate expressor of the Father's will. You see, you could say, well, how do I know that I'm not listening to an evil spirit? And that if I do this and yield and let him or her respond to everything, and I in my personal sense of power back out of the picture, how do I know that I'm not going to be overtaken by this so-called guide, this one who says he's awakened? You see what I'm saying? This is the way the ego works. You know what? You're going to have to risk the chance. Because even if you yield, you don't have to abandon your intelligence. You don't have to abandon your common sense. You don't have to become stupid. You will always have the capacity to call it to a stop. But you're going to have to, nevertheless, step over the line and make commitment to your liberators so that they may show you how to be liberated within yourself as a matter of self-government. And by self-government, I don't mean what you have called self-government, which has meant being a really good ego. I mean self-government where distinctions are being made by you between truth and error, and a choice being made for truth, a distinction being made between love and hate, and a choice being made for love, so that you protect love by not indulging in anything else, by protecting truth, by not expressing anything else, not being fascinated by anything else. You see? Becoming single of mind, single of intent, where there's no confusion within you. That's where the self-government comes in. Making the distinction and making the choice, and making the choice wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Unequivocally and permanently. I could go on and on. I would like for you all to, let's say, do a little of your own work and consider the dynamics of what has occurred this week and how there is transfer value regarding it and regarding you in your processes of awakening and the ego dynamics you're having to deal with. I cannot close my remarks without reiterating that to become immobilized and to take no action whatsoever until you can do it with utter spiritual perfection, even when you recognize the call for love and the call for protecting the truth of your brothers, you have seen actions take place over the past number of weeks. You have seen the embodiment of love. Do not minimize it by saying there must have been another way to do it. If another way to do it had been available, it would have been used. And everyone who has said there is another way to do it has not stated what it is, and so there was nothing to implement. And so you will find that as you allow yourselves to be the salvation of the world, you will be guided to do what will work whether it's the ultimate or not. And you must dare to take the actions that embody liberation, whether they are ultimately spiritual or not, because I promise you the liberation is real. Don't let yourselves be immobilized. I want to let what I've said set for now and to go directly into the book.
Nothing can prevail against a son of God who commends his spirit into the hands of his Father.
Ooh.
By doing this, the mind awakens from its sleep and remembers its Creator.
Or, maybe, becomes subject to an evil spirit. And how are you going to know which it is? You got to try it, that's right. You've got to risk the chance. Else, all you're doing is covering your ass, and you're stuck. You're stuck with what you've got in your hand.
Trust is a risk.
Trust feels risky. But only to those who have not trusted in a very long time and have forgotten the immediate influx of the experience of integrity and invulnerability that comes from it. And so I'm here to remind you that that is what will be experienced, but no matter how much I say it, it's not going to prove it to you. The only thing that's going to prove it to you is for you to at least play around with it. Experiment with it. If not, attempt it with genuine commitment. Continue.
Julie would like to ask a question.
Very well.
What you were saying on a personal level, which I have to apply, you know, what's going on globally on a personal level for it to sink in, but it's definitely a wonderful mirror. And I think what I see that my own little dictator does in my mind is it stands ready to criticize the attempts, the times that I practice and perhaps slip. It tries to use that to promote the faithlessness. It tries to use that as some kind of evidence that the effort isn't worthwhile.
Indeed.
And I think what I really got in the last couple of days especially was that it's really okay to go through the rough and tumble effort, the process of getting there, because as we keep it up, it'll get smoother and smoother and easier and easier. And I think to not be dissuaded, not be led astray by the work, because it's practice. It's like in the short term, it takes practice, and it's not going to be perfect. But like you were saying, not to wait until we feel like we can do it perfectly before we even begin on the journey. That to let it be okay to practice, and to keep putting the effort, and to not let the times that it's not perfect be used as some kind of evidence that the work isn't taking place, that there isn't growth, or that there isn't the end result isn't leading us to a more positive place. That's like the biggest breakthrough for me, I think, that I've had recently, is to let the process happen and to let it be okay that it's not completely smooth, and to kind of keep the vision ahead that and the trust that it's getting there.
Yes. Yes, it's the practice that is the point. It is the persistence and the conscientiousness, whether it's smooth and whether you're praised for it or not, and whether your ego has shut up or not. As I've said before, the only thing your ego can't defend itself against is disregard.
And every time we begin again, that's a disregard.
Exactly.
Every time we get back up, and you know, like in Iraq, there are going to be those, because the rebuilding...
In our what?
In Iraq.
Oh, in Iraq.
I'm taking my personal example out global again. There's going to be, it's not going to be a smooth process rebuilding and restoring the freedom. They've gone without it for so long. There's going to be slips. There's going to be trials. There's going to be times that it's not going to be so smooth. And there are going to be those ever ready to jump with criticism, saying, see, it doesn't work. See, what all that happened was for nothing.
And there is going to be a call for further witnessing on their behalf by those who have the vision and the experience. So, as the coalition is aware, you can't just go in and liberate them without backing it up with the support that it takes for a shift of perception to be embodied. Yes.
As we practice faithfulness in ourselves, that's what we have to keep giving it to others, because it strengthens it in ourselves, and we have to see it through to the very end. There's never like a moment that we can become complacent and say, okay, my work is done now, and just leave it alone. We've got to stick it out with them. I mean, this is the first step. The first step is this initial liberation, and then after that, it's clearing the way, because there's still rubbish, there's still the wrong thinking, there's still the ease of slipping back into old habits and patterns, and so we have to keep going and going and going until
okay.
It's no longer a habit.
I'm going to address something here that there needs to be wisdom. What you do is you witness for your brother or your sister. And if your brother or your sister stands in receipt of it, you persist. I want you to remember that there are those who have incarnated at this time, which is the end of incarnations, for the purpose, the sole purpose of having one last fling in the ego frame of reference. And they are totally committed to it. And when you witness for them and hang in there with them, and they deny you persistently, and see you as an aggressor persistently, and see you as someone trying to, colonialize them and change them into your, what they call your perspective of reality, you must be wise. I've used this analogy before. None of you have ever left the kingdom of heaven. You're in it right now, and in effect, you're lying on grassy knolls, sleeping, having a dream. Those who are committed to their dreams, who are not beginning to rouse at all, we do not bother. No matter how rugged their dream, we do not bother. But the moment one of you begins to stir, and we see the signs of consciousness returning, we are right there to help you by facilitating by providing a point of focus in the world of consciousness, you might say, so that you have something to home in on as you rouse yourself further. We cannot rouse you. You must understand that we cannot make you wake up, and you cannot make anyone else wake up. So, you must be willing to listen for the wisdom that comes from within to tell you when it is not appropriate to persist with a brother who is absolutely committed to his dream. And you bring your attention to those who, like you, are beginning to wake up and who are curious and interested, who are having problems but are not insisting on their problems and want to hear the truth that will actually relieve them of their problems. Those who are in the process of awakening, those who are stirring, who are becoming conscious, with a capital C, are the ones to bring the extension of love to, because their awakening, which will happen more easily than those who are committed to their dreams, will constitute their withdrawal from the mutually agreed upon definitions that constitute the dream everyone else is in, which is going to weaken their dream and cause them to spontaneously begin to stir as well. Yes, you all have free will. And that free will is absolute. The key lies in the fact that once your choice, once your expression of your free will is to know what the Father's will is, you begin to wake up out of your dream. Once commitment to your ability, so-called ability to authorize things on your own, once that has been called into question and you have a curiosity about something more than that, then movement of awakening begins. And that is where those who are awake can meet you, and where their presence can be experienced by you. So there are some that you won't hang in with, not because of any judgment, but because you recognize their commitment to their dream, and that they simply are not hearing anything you're saying. If they are not hearing anything you are saying, then intelligence and wisdom says, give your attention where you can be heard, and where your love does register, and where the Father's will moving through you can be experienced by them, and by virtue of the experience, reminding them back in the dim halls of their memory, you might say, of their divine birthright, and that what they are getting a glimmer of through you is a glimmer of who they really are, so that the aha, the light bulb can go on, the aha can occur, and they rejoin themselves many women try to find men to be in relationship with in order to save them. They find flawed men with potential so that they can be their savior. Well, the salvation happens very seldom. And the women who attempt to do that often spend many years totally wasting their gift and being miserable in the process. Why? Because you can't override free will. God's power cannot override free will. It's very simple. Learn that fact so that you might attend to what will promote awakening. Does anyone have a question about this?
I have a couple.
Of course you do.
Well, I was going to let it slide until you asked. But are you saying that the current administration is doing this because they have a higher sense of purpose? Or are you saying that they're doing this and the will of God gets done no matter? Of course not. You already know the answer. Oh, I see. Do you know why I'm asking the question?
Of course I do.
Okay. Good. Because there's a lot of people out there that feel that the current administration is not a particularly good one. And so when you say that they're rescuing or liberating the people of Iraq, that, I think, creates consternation. And the impression that I get...
Isn't that wonderful? I'm not going to answer the question that you asked. Because I'm not talking about the evaluations. Everyone is very alert on your globe right now, and that's what's wonderful. And they are alert in your country, and they are alert in your government, and they are alert in other countries and in other governments. And as a result of the absence of lazy, slipshod mental attitudes, more than what anybody planned on having happen, will happen. And it will happen in ways that truly express democracy and brotherly love in ways that far surpass prior expressions of global brotherly love. Nobody's going to get away with anything.
Yeah, I totally see that. I mean, I don't have any problem with that. I just want to delineate the fact that the current administration does not have this higher sense of purpose that you're talking about. Because I don't see the consistency in the policies that they have across the board. So in other words, what I'm saying is that the will of God happens, period. It doesn't make any difference, you know, what intent we little ego, puny little ego parts of us have. The will of God happens regardless. In other words, the Holy Spirit prevails. And so that's where I see the greater good coming from this. And that's what I'm trying to, in other words, I don't see you, Raj, in other words, it could be interpreted from what you just said, that you feel that the current administration has this higher purpose that we're all missing, that we don't see, that motivates them. And what I'm saying is...
You want to know something?
What?
You're right. I am saying that the coalition uh-huh. has a moral vision uh-huh. that has escaped everyone else. Uh-huh. I am also saying that, as with any other governmental act that occurs, mm-hmm. other agendas are getting attached to them that are profiteering and not expressing mm-hmm. the same moral vision.
Okay.
But I am saying, yes, that those involved in the coalition have not moved here because of the agendas, but because there has been a deep moral recognition that they were not afraid to act upon. And that is all the further I will get into politics.
Okay. I'm just trying to find, I'm not trying to get into politics, I'm just trying to discover what you're saying and your particular view of what's going on. I mean, I could care less as far as what's going on in the world, so to speak. What I'm trying to do is understand exactly what you're saying so that everyone out there in radio land doesn't go, oh, well, Raj is a Republican. You see what I'm getting at?
I'm not even a Christian. How could I be a Republican?
Well, not all Republicans are Christians. So anyway, the second question. May I ask the second?
Before you ask the second question,
okay. Michael, I moved to answer or just give you a response that's come up in me right now, and that response is
pointed at your mouth.
Hello. I agonize every time I move out into that objective point of view. My cells hurt. The only thing that I can see in my day, whatever crosses my path, it has to be a subjective experience. And I have to ask, what is the meaning of this for me? It wouldn't matter whether it's the war in Iraq or somebody at the grocery store. I have to ask every moment, and I ask of my guide, what meaning does this have for me? All I know is that yesterday when I went down and turned on the TV, I needed to look at somebody being joyful because I felt so miserable yesterday, and that lifted my spirits. And so I want to get out of the historical view of things because I'm interested in transcending time. And the best way that I can transcend time is look for meaning, because the alternative to time is the experience of meaning. And for me, history is not meaningful. So I have to respond not so much to you, but to a popular point of view, a certain path that many take to say, the way to awaken is through an objective, uninvolved point of view. I can't awake like that. So that's my response.
I want to go off on a completely different tangent because I've had a little trouble this week in looking at my agreed-upon definitions and realizing that's my whole life. Everywhere I look, that's what I'm doing. And I was listening to one of your tapes, And you were talking about the picture that Glenda Green did. And you told the person that was asking about that not to get too, you know, hung up on the picture because you wanted her to see you. And that got me thinking.
And not the image.
And not the image. And that got me thinking, I think you maybe were helping me a little bit here, is if you're going to look for an experience.
Indeed.
As opposed to, because I'm seeing myself, I always thought the way to win was how I looked. I mean, I got a lot of stuff by the way I used to look. And then as I got older and I lost a lot of that stuff, I mean, that my looks, life changed drastically and I was pretty upset about that. Well, we've talked about that. Anyway, now I'm really having to give that all up, how I look or how somebody else looks. I don't want that to govern my thinking anymore because I would bypass so many beautiful people because they were fat, they were tall, they were this, they were in rags, they were begging, they were, and I just skip by them.
I will tell you that in the beginning, Paul made me available to people for private conversations. And over the first 6 months or so, all of the conversations occurred over the phone. And Paul's experience of these people was, you might say, through my eyes. He had never seen them. There was no image for him. And it is not that he had a different kind of image, but he experienced them as lovable because I treated them as though they were lovable. He experienced them as being capable of experiencing healing or transformation because that is the way I was treating them and that is what would happen. And so when we had our first gathering, and he had the opportunity to meet these people, it was a little bit of a shock because, as you said, some were tall, some were short, some were fat, some were thin, and those were not the criteria that he had been experiencing them with. And so you are expressing a truth here that if no one is a body, if you are not a body and you are still free to be as God created thee, then what you really are is an experience awaiting everyone who comes into contact with you. And the same with everyone else for you. And if you get stuck with the appearance, you'll miss the experience. And you're still isolated and alone and seeing a world and universe instead of the kingdom of heaven and your brother or sister, the Christ. So yes, we're talking about having an experience.
And that's what I should look for, because I'm...
That's what you should have curiosity to see.
Got it. Yeah.
To look for it. I'm going to look for it. No, it's like, wow, is there more for me to see? I want to see it. Wow. Let there be curiosity. Let it be light. Let it be interested. Just be interested.
Right, instead of trying to make myself do a different thing once more using my head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You are welcome. I haven't forgotten your second question.
We were talking about the news media earlier, as Susan brought up. And in my experience, in my teaching and practice, I noticed that a lot of people have been spun out by this situation. No wonder if you turn on the TV or the radio or pick up a newspaper, it is 90% of everything that's being talked about in those media. My question to you is what's the best way to interact with the media? Because depending on who you're listening to, you're getting usually a slanted viewpoint. Very little objectivity from what I can tell, either one way or the other. So do we just turn everything off? Just don't watch TV, don't listen to the radio, don't pick up a newspaper, or do you immerse yourself? You know, I mean, is there a golden mean here, or is it always just turning to the Father and asking the Father which station to watch and, you know, et cetera? I mean, how does that, what's the best way to handle that situation?
If ignorance is what you're all suffering from, then don't do what promotes further ignorance by isolating yourself from the media and from anything that brings you news of the world. Dare to be informed, but just don't become fixated on the delivery of information. And in this day and age, because there is the availability, I encourage you to gather your information from a broad range of sources that clearly show the difference, the different lenses, the different perspectives. But remember that you're not going to be able to gather the facts, the capital F, facts of capital B being, from the media at all. What you're going to see are the current beliefs, the current perspectives, even though they are reporting on the event they are reporting is a movement of liberation that is divinely authorized. They are going to be reporting it through the lens of their beliefs. Now, gather your information so that you have a general and broad picture of what the beliefs are, and then turn off the media and go within to ask the Father what needs to be known here. What do you need to see? What is your part to play? What is the clarity that you need to be embodying? And how do you become free of your own bias? Because you want to be the clearest channel of the truth that you can be. Did we get to the second sentence?
Do you want me to start over?
I will read it.
Okay.
Nothing can prevail against a Son of God who commends his spirit into the hands of his Father. By doing this, the mind awakens from its sleep and remembers its Creator. All sense of separation disappears. This is the truth. No matter what doubts your egos and your conditioned thinking throws in the way, It is the truth. And I encourage you, during the next 2 weeks, since we are not meeting next Thursday, to commend your soul, your spirit, to the Father. And don't imagine that you have to dive off into the deep end of the experience, the deep end of the pool. It's all right for you to get into the kiddies' wading pool and sit down and splash in what the experience feels like of commending your spirit unto the Father. But begin to actually inquire, what do I need to know here? Do it, do it, do it. You know what? I look forward to the day. I look forward to the day that I no longer hear students of the Course talking about what the words mean, and I start hearing them talk about the transformation they're experiencing because they've done it, done it, done it. They've risked the chance and commended their spirit unto the Father and let the Father's will find expression through them because they were so undefended against it that it infilled them and overflowed them and blessed their brothers. That's what we need to start having embodied in the world about the Course, not which version is the right version. Oh, because no matter what version you pick up, it's going to point you in the direction of commending your spirit into the hands of your Father, so that by doing this, the mind awakens from its sleep and remembers its Creator. And this is the good news. This is your liberator. And your liberator will bring joy to your face and your body and your world. So let's remember what it's all about. Or maybe, even if you've been a student of the Course for 20 years, maybe you're just discovering tonight, from hearing what I'm saying, that this is what it's all about, so that you have an opportunity to live it in a brand new and truly transformational way. So, we may have only gone through three sentences, but it has been a very fruitful and wonderful evening. Thank you.
Thank you.